for our next story, Jess Walsh, a mountain guide, Anchorage, Alaska, and her friend went off for a long trail run in the woods by the Elmendorf Air Force Base. What happened next was, well, snap judgment.
It was beautiful and sunny, and my friend and I were at the height of our training, and so we're like, oh, I'm gonna leave my water in the car. Oh, I don't need my coat. And I was like, oh, I don't need a cell phone. Oh, I don't need my bear spray. We're like, oh, we'll just do a quick 10 miles and we've got the dogs with us and my dog will make noise and she'll bark, and we take off for 10 miles of it. You know, sometimes we'll run along and we'll be like, hey, bear, hey, bear, and just yell out in the open. I always love running in other places because I'm like, oh, I can be quiet. I don't have to yell or go whoop, whoop all the time. And so we were about halfway around the loop. So on the farthest end that you could possibly be, we come to this space where we have to run down a pretty steep embankment. We see in the trail that there's like a dog down there. And we stop. My friend and I stood there and we said, I think that's a wolf. There had been all these stories recently about the Elmendorf wolf pack. And this story of this school teacher, and she was running through town with her headphones in, and a whole wolf pack took her down in the middle of town and killed her. And all that was running through my mind the second I saw this thing right off the trail. And it was the biggest wolf I've ever seen. This animal was probably 175 pounds, and its legs were so long that its head probably stood to my armpit, and I'm 5'4". It was so beautiful. It was this white, gray. Had I been in any other situation, I would have considered that moment to be completely magical, but I was scared. I told my dog to heel, and she listened, and she stood right between my friend and I. It was sort of this stare down between the three of us and this wolf, like who's going to make a move, what's going to happen. And the wolf made the first move. The wolf took a step towards us. And so I pick up this big rock and I huck it as hard as I can, and it lands right by the wolf, and the wolf stops. And I thought, okay, good. Maybe we can scare this thing away. And then it takes another step towards us. So we both start picking up rocks and we start throwing them at this wolf. The wolf never looked at the rocks. The wolf never flinched. The wolf kept its eyes on us the entire time. We were starting to get a little like unnerved, obviously. And so, you know, we pick up this huge stick and we're both holding it and we're yelling. We're like, get away. As we were, you know, we were throwing the rocks, we were yelling, and we're like, go, wolf, go, go, go. We're using all these tactics that are drilled into you when you, you know, live in a place like this. And the wolf kept coming. Then we see a second wolf come out from the brush near the first one. And we're like, oh. I tell my friend, we've got to get up the embankment. We have to get up and try to get away from them. And we scurried up the embankment, which was really difficult because the pitch is super steep. Right at the top of the embankment, there was this tree that had a low branch. And so we run over to the alder and we turn around, and those wolves are right behind us. I didn't hear them at all. They were silent. You know, all that was running through my mind was that school teacher. I couldn't reach the branch. And so I turned to my friend and I said, quick, give me a foot lift and I'll pull you up behind me. She steps out with her leg and I step on her leg and I grab the branch and I shimmy up. And then I reach down to pull her into the tree. And as I'm pulling her into the tree and her legs are hanging down, that big wolf jumps towards her. And as the wolf jumps toward her, my dog Winnie jumps in between her and the wolf. And the wolf got Winnie on the neck. And there was this huge, like a huge yelp from Winnie. And the whole time I'm pulling my friend into the tree, and we finally, both of us are on this branch. I'm sitting in the top of the tree and I look down to try to see how hurt Winnie is. And I can't see anything on her fur. She's black and can't see blood on the ground. After the wolf made contact with her, the wolf had stepped back a little bit from her. And she's on her hind legs and she's clawing at the tree and whining. And I don't want to come down in the tree because the wolf can jump that high. And I just start crying because I know I'm about to watch my dog get eaten, and I've left her. This is my husband and my first baby. But I can't risk my life to go down and try to get my 65-pound dog and up into a tree. I had a 2-year-old baby at home. I couldn't do that. I was saying, Winnie, you're such a good girl. I love you. Thank you for protecting Sarah. And I started to yell at her, run, run, go home, run. And she just kept whining and clawing at the tree and barking and whining. Then she sat down. And then she laid down. And the wolves had sat down on the side of the trail and were just watching her. And so she laid down and watched them. And we sat there like that for an hour. We had no food. We had no water. So we wait a little bit longer and we watch the wolves just stand up. Nothing prompted them. There was nothing that we did. They took about 5 steps back and then they sat down again and stared at us. And then they stood up like 10 minutes later. And they took about 5 steps back and then they sat down again and they stared at us. And they slowly worked their way out of our vision back into the other side of the trail, into the woods, by moving like every 10 minutes. It took like another hour for them to be where we couldn't see them anymore. Finally, we heard voices, and coming down the trail were 2 women running, and we were like, hey, stop, there's wolves in the area. And they stop and they were like, do we need to come get in the tree with you? And we're like, no, 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 we're getting down. And so we climbed down, and I was finally able to look at my dog, and there wasn't a scratch on her. I could find nothing on her. The newspaper ran a story on it without our names or anything. And the animal-human debate in Anchorage is hot. And I was afraid of what people were going to say if they found out. When we told the story to the main wildlife regulator on the base, he told us that that behavior was totally uncharacteristic of normal wolf behavior. I'd asked him, I said, what are you gonna do? And he said, well, we're in the process of making a decision about what we're gonna do about them. And then the next thing I know, like a month or two later, a decision had been made to trap and kill the Elmendorf wolf pack. And they did. They killed the entire pack that winter. I felt like it was our fault. And I carried that with me for a long time. I was a mountain guide. I should have known better. I taught people this stuff. 2 weeks ago, I was invited out to the trails where the incident happened, and I hadn't been back there in about 5 years. I hadn't been back there at all since I climbed out of that tree that day. I was standing there underneath these spruce trees, and I had this huge knot in my throat. It was because they weren't there. The wolves weren't there. The thing that sticks out in my mind the most is when we were trying to climb the tree, I was able to actually look into the eyes of this animal that had this piercing, ice blue, intense eyes. And, you know, if I was going to get philosophical about everything, I would say that's a pretty good vision of how nature is, intense and deadly, yet it was so beautiful all at the same time.
Thank you, Jess Wall, for sharing that story. We are happy to say that Jess's dog, Winnie, is still kicking and putting in the miles. Sound design for that piece, original sound design by Leon Morimoto, and the story was produced by Davey Kim.